Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Matt and Dwight Just Might, a podcast about two Midwest-based comedians who are trying to figure it out. Man, life, everything in between. Sometimes they have to take a week off just to really ponder what it's all about. And that was the case last week. We just were in deep meditation all of last week. You know, we're like, you know, let's make this a moment of reflection, not always, you know, about content creation. Let it be content reflection.
I love that. Now.
Yes, thank you. That's
we got to take care of our mental space too.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yeah. We did have last week off. For those of you that are brand new to the podcast, this is a weird episode to jump in on. But hey, thanks for being here. It's not serialized. You don't have to, you know, listen to them all in order, but you could. There's good tidbits.
Yeah, that'd be helpful if you did.
Yeah.
You would just be like, those guys repeat themselves a lot.
Yes, exactly. There's running. We like to call those running bits. Okay, just because we give the same advice many times over and over again, it's just a running bit that isn't comedic in any way. I'm Matt Alano Martin. With me, as always, is Dwight Simmons. Dwight, how are you, sir?
I am doing fine, man. I'm doing fine. I'm good, man. The week off was, you know, it's kind of jarring because we do this every week, and then it felt like I just had something to do all day on Tuesday, and I couldn't figure out what it was.
You know, you could just say that you missed me. You don't have to frame it specifically in the nagging sense. Oh, like I had a phantom limb.
I can't say that. I can't tell you that. Okay. I know how big your head would get.
Which is already pretty big. Anybody watching on YouTube can already see that I've got a large cranium to begin with.
Head of your class, baby. You were on, you took a little vacation, though.
I did. Right. My wife and I, we were on vacation. We went to Moab, Utah, and did some hiking around Arches National Park, which was absolutely beautiful. I was pretty sick, actually. I started coming down with something on the flight to there, which, of course, we tested. It wasn't COVID. We're perfectly not COVID, but just the regular seasonal I powered through, which I'm glad I did, because Arches National Park was absolutely amazing. We didn't go as intense on the hiking as we probably would have. We did much more like casual strolling and just doing the ones that are pretty close to the road, you know, like, because you can drive through the entire park, you know, and kind of drive up to the thing you want to see, you know, for at least probably half of the things in that park. It's very user friendly, you know. And so we kind of did that. We did a little bit more chill since I was under the weather, but absolutely amazing. And then we went to Las Vegas and saw you two at the Sphere, which was also freaking bonkers. Man, I'm telling you, people need to go see a show at the Sphere before it closes, because it's amazing. But apparently all the talk in Vegas is about how much money it's losing. It's like the CEO has already been fired and all this kind of stuff. But we were talking about, Denise and I were talking about, it's like, it doesn't have a casino, you know, like these big theaters, like in the MGM Grand or Luxor or Bellagio, whatever, you know, they're bringing in, you know, Miranda Lambert or Garth Brooks, or like Ludacris was going to be there like the day after we left and everything, performing at someplace.
Okay.
Like they can lose money on doing show production because they're making so much money in the casino. The Sphere is just an event space.
It's nuts. And
I don't know if that's viable in Las Vegas, you know, like it may not be.
Yeah. That's an incredible oversight to open up a massive project without gambling. The one thing that people like, you're not a big gambler. Like you actually went there to see you two and built this trip around it. But I imagine that's in the minority of people going to see stuff in Vegas.
Well, I think even if you just caught some income from that, you know, cause I'm sure there are people that go just to see Garth Brooks do his residency in Vegas or whoever. Right. Denise and I aren't gamblers at all. We still spent $30 on penny slot machines when we were bored. Throwing a $10 bill in and like goofing around for 15 minutes. See, basically our whole thing is like, let's see how slowly we can lose this on the penny slots. all right, cool. That ate up enough time. Now it's time for our dinner reservation. Like we did that kind of stuff. So they would at least be getting that kind of stuff going on. But it's obviously it's incredibly expensive building to make and to operate and everything. I highly recommend people go check out a show there before it turns into a Bass Pro Shop. That's my
it'd be the dopest.
What's going to happen?
It would be the dopest Bass Pro Shop though.
Well, you'd have the one in Memphis that's at the old pyramid, and then you'd have this one. So, yeah, they're just slowly taking over of the iconic, you know, buildings that other people, you know, just couldn't pull off, you know.
Yeah,
they bring in the BPS, baby. BPS to the rescue.
It is funny to it's a viable business strategy. Just selling
just creep and wait tackle. Just wait you just wait for somebody else to spend all the money on the thing, and then when they go under you swoop in. I mean, that is kind of like they're I don't think he'd mind me telling the story, but you know, Chris that the owner of the Blue Room Comedy Club, that club originally was in the back room of a pool hall, and it was great, it was fun, it was a tight little room, it was super fun. They are now in the fanciest, nicest, big expansive building because a church, like a new hip church, spent all this money to make the space, and then the pastor for that church got arrested for cocaine and some other things, and so the church went under like pretty much the minute they got it done. So Chris was able to like step into a completely finished building, and all he had to do was like, you know, just take down the picture of Jesus.
That's it.
A picture of Mariah Carey. You know what I'm saying?
That's what we call a callback to a bit that I do.
That's for people who watched your special. That's a little treat for them. But that is kind of an interesting business plan of like somebody gonna fuck up and I'll just be able to step in there, you know?
Yeah, like obviously hip church, you're gonna get arrested for doing coke. It's a hip church. We can't be zonked out of our mind and also worship the Lord.
I mean, I think you're skipping over the part that it's hip, though. I mean, come on now.
It's hip.
It's a little nose candy for Christ. Come on.
Come on. That's tax deductible.
Look, these are just communion wafers. They're just powdered up. That's all I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? Oh man. But Vegas was cool. We ate some really good food. We ate some very overrated food. Like we got told to go to this one restaurant and it was very mid. But you know, it was good. It was good to get away. Yeah, but we had some good stuff and you know, got to see John Cessna, who I don't think listens to the podcast because he's a busy man, but old friend from comedy, long retired from comedy, like a sane person. But he and his wife, Kirsten, are also big U2 fans. And so we went to U2 on the same night as them. We met them up for dinner beforehand and everything. So
how long was their set? Those guys are up there.
Long. Yeah. No, it was like over 2 hours easily.
Damn.
That's awesome. And they're a bunch of old men and they brought it. You know, we saw them a couple of years ago when they came to Indy for the Joshua Tree tour, which is like their most famous album, obviously.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time I'd ever seen them. And I always liked U2. And I was like, this is an iconic album. We should go to see it. That concert made me a fan. Like they were so good. And the same thing with this. Like, they are. There's a reason. There's a reason that they've been superstars for 30 years. They're very, very good at what they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they sell it. When you see them on stage, like, you get into it. It's cool.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I'm always curious with the, like, because all these older bands are touring and older artists are touring. And it's like when I went to see James Brown when he was damn near 90. I was like, my man is still moving. He's scooting. Yeah. He's moving. He's got a guy bringing him out of Cape. It takes him a little longer to get on up, but he does eventually get on up.
He gets up there. Yeah.
He gets up there.
So how is James Brown's voice, though? That's the big thing is like as people get older, the voices tend to go. It's just a natural thing that happens physically. Your vocal cords aren't as strong as they used to be. And like most notably in like sort of the rock world, you know, Robert Plant completely changed the way he sang. And that's how he had like a whole second life of his career. You know, he couldn't do the really high Led Zeppelin stuff anymore. So he just changed the way that he sang and then had this entire resurgence of his career.
Right.
You know, Bono still sounded fucking great, man.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. James, how did James Brown sound?
I mean, he does it with a live band, so I think they just slow things down.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't hold the notes. Like he's doing A Man's World, which is a little slower.
Yeah.
And he's doing, obviously Get On Up, which is
Yeah.
It's not like a vocal masterpiece.
No.
It's like energy, energy, energy. And those right. are the songs that really shine through. Like he's doing Payback. Calls to be the boss. It was still good, man. It's still good.
Yeah.
He did like 90 minutes. And I was like,
that's awesome.
Man. I'm like, I'm tired for you, James. I'm tired for you.
Yeah. I mean, there's and a reason. Yeah. Like they earn the money. You know, they're not doing this, you know. They're not doing a Lauryn Hill or anything like that. They're not storming off mad after like three songs, you know.
I want to see Andre 3000. This motherfucker just played the flute the whole time.
God, you are still hung up on that. Okay.
I listened to it again. I wanted to. I really wanted to.
Is it growing on you?
I really want it to.
Yeah.
Okay. I really want it to. Because in a decade, they're going to be like, this is the most genius thing that's ever happened.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to say this is the this is the trouble man of the 2020s, you know. This is the what's going on.
Exactly.
It's a nation of million to hold us back. It's all there. All of that is in this flute.
This is the Gil Scott-Heron of our time.
Yeah. Has anyone thought, now this is a very specific niche, but this is, I think, the niche that of our, if anyone's going to have it, it's going to be our listeners who know that we love to talk about music as much as comedy. Mm-hmm. Has anyone spliced together the new track from the new Andre thing and Greg Warren saying doing the flute man bit? Huh? Can we do that?
That is genius. We have to do that.
Yeah, just maybe a split screen of them on stage, him saying, play your flute, flute man. And then there's Andre just.
Yep.
Okay.
That is at least 3,000 plays.
Yes, exactly.
So specific.
Mostly of everybody in the comments are always like, I don't get it. What is this?
And then I reply, exactly.
Yes, there you go.
Not supposed to.
All right. That's the next challenge for the podcast. Listeners, I don't know how good you are at CapCut, but you know, give it a whirl. You know, see if you can't make that happen.
You got this, guys.
So ostensibly this is a podcast about comedy. So let's move into the comedy talk.
Totally.
Are you ready for that? Are you ready for us to get into comedy?
This is what happens anytime we take a week off. Mm-hmm. It's just 20 minutes straight of not comedy talk. And then we're like, hey, remember what the podcast is about? And those are Matt typically... Dwight
just might get around to it.
Just might procrastinate for an hour. Okay. I guess since the last time we talked, I had a bunch of shows. Mm-hmm. I featured at Helium for Andrea Jin in the upstairs room in Indianapolis. Four shows, and they were kind of all over the place. I'm gonna tell you.
All right, I'm here to listen.
Friday night, it was Andrea walked in. The first show starts at 8. She like is carrying her suitcase up this. She clearly just got into town.
Oh man,
it's like 7:50, and she was like she had just taken an Amtrak from Iowa.
What?
Yeah, she took an Amtrak. Train.
So you're headlining now, and I know headlining the small room in Helium doesn't pay super well.
Yeah,
but certainly it pays. Get on an airplane. Well, I mean,
this is new headliner mistake. I think she probably regretted it. Like,
yeah,
you know, two hours into it,
mm-hmm.
because her whole thing was like she didn't want a long layover, and I don't know. And she said she'll never take an Amtrak again.
Yeah, and like, Amtrak is just a layover. It's just a moving layover.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
All it is. Yeah, I think she was making a joke that, you know, in China they have the bullet train. And it's. Mm-hmm. I was like, baby girl, that ain't no public Amtrak. $14 cross country. Sorry, dog. Sorry. No.
Yeah, she's bringing up this giant suitcase. You're like, wow, she's got a lot of merch. And she found out, no, that wasn't the case.
Yeah. And then it wasn't the case. And then we've both had this where we just struggle that first show. So it was up and down because she struggled both shows first night, mm-hmm. where it's just things were not connecting. And then second night was better. Like you could tell she had gotten some sleep, gotten to a rhythm, there's a difference. She's also like working out a lot of new stuff, which I don't know if she's put anything out, but it was just odd to watch, a whole set be worked on from, kind of scratch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there was
no. As a headliner, that's a long, well, anytime on a weekend paid show, but particularly for the headliner.
Right.
Yeah. To do nothing but new stuff is very ballsy. Let's put it there. Yeah. Like it is very ballsy, but maybe not the best move, you know, like it's a brave move. I will put it that way.
It was bold. Yeah, so she stuck in there. It's usually like you're trying some new stuff, it's going meh, and then you're like, let me get one for me and my confidence for the rest of the 35 minutes that I have to be up here.
I love it, like when you're trying a new one and you bail even half, you don't even finish the new joke. You're like, no, like, they're not liking it.
No,
I'm out.
Pull the parachute. We're done. Yeah. We are done. But
all right. So an up and down weekend for her. Yeah. But how did you do? Like in the feature spot?
I had great sets. It sold a lot of merch.
Okay.
Okay. The crowds were great. She has people that come out for her. They're really good, good audiences. So I had fun. And then Friday night, I snuck downstairs in between shows and did a guest set for Preacher Lawson, who also has his own audience. Very funny guy from America's Got Talent. Gorgeous black man with a old white audience. And who likes an old white audience more than your baby boy here?
I know.
So he's clean, obviously. And he has his mom. He brings his mom on a road for him. Call her Mama Lawson.
Okay.
So I went to the green room. It's like, hey, nice to meet you. I'm Dwight. And she's like, I'm Mama Lawson. I was like, Mama first name. Cool.
Yeah.
So she does like 10 minutes up top and it's adorable.
Okay. All right.
It's adorable.
All right.
It's just
is it funny, Dwight? Is it funny or is it adorable?
I'm not gonna speak ill of Mama Lawson. You will not catch me on this podcast.
How much merch does Mama Lawson have? How much is she selling?
I will tell you, she does set up his merch and it is an immaculate setup.
Okay.
It's like a circular clothes rack for all his different shirts.
How do you even travel with a circular clothes rack?
She like breaks it down, she sets it up, and it's nuts. It's nuts.
That is crazy. Yeah.
It's nuts. And and they're there for it. He sells for
now.
Like,
this makes me feel like he's exploiting his mom. He's not adorable anymore. Now it's more like
he did say it's like, cheaper.
If you don't want to go in the home, you're going on the road with me and you're moving that merch.
Don't go short on your time. 10 minutes. I don't care how it's going. But he's like, he offered me a guest set. He's like, can you do clean? I said, you goddamn right. I can do clean. You fucking right. I can do clean.
Yeah. Motherfucker. Shit.
Who the fuck you think you're talking to, boy? So I did a guest set. It was really fun. And then it was a great weekend for me all around, just because I got to work on some stuff from the feature spot, which is the perfect spot to work on stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Especially if the audience is hot. So,
yeah.
Those shows were fun and productive. I feel like I missed something. But yeah, I did 5 sets throughout. The feature
solid
sets
weekend
were like 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So all 5 sets put together, I did one headlining set. So
Did you break it all up or are you repeating working on, like when you did your 20 minutes, were you completely rotating stuff around or were you really drilling down on some material?
So the things I wanted to work on, probably like 7 minutes worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. The last show, I really just went real loose with it, opened with a new bit and then closed with a new bit. But the other 3 shows was just, you know, trying to protect the material.
Right.
Sandwich it in between, like, you know, you get the crowd on your side. All right, now I'm going to throw an untested thing at you and then do it again and then do it again. And 20 minutes is perfect when you're trying to, like, work on that amount of new stuff. So, and then close strong, or at least try to. But, you know, I close differently every night, which is just a flex, but it's not that difficult when you've been doing it for a long time.
But also like, a flex, but also to make it fun for you. So you're not, you know, you got to freshen it up a little bit from show to show.
Yeah.
You know, like you don't want to just like, oh, well, here's the same closer again, particularly when it's one that you know that works.
Right.
You know, Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, man. Now, where were you last week? What did you have going on last week while I was on vacation?
So I announced that I accepted a position at Kurt Vonnegut Museum.
Correct.
And library.
Congratulations. Congratulations. Thank you. This is the first, when you say you've announced, you mean you're now announcing for the first time. This is exclusive
for the podcast. I wouldn't break news.
This isn't something that you just threw fucking haphazardly uply on the fucking Facebook, you know, like this. That's a word I made up.
We're based in haphazardly.
Yes, congratulations. So you're now on that's how good you did at that show, is that they put you on the board of directors, like when you did the Kurt Vonnegut gala. Now, was this already in the works or
no? I mean, like, I did a good job, but yeah, that's basically the email was like, we, you know, I tailored my set to education and my own experience with it and book bannings and shit like that. So they're like, that's a good perspective. Would you like to be on the board? I wish it was something like, I campaigned for this. I worked very hard for it, but no. I think they really enjoyed the set and they want voices of color. Involved, you know, that's the demographic that they're trying to reach with access to actual books and education here in Indianapolis.
They're like, you know, we've got a lot of like Preacher Lawson fans on our side already. What we need is a different audience.
quote for quote. Basically, that's how I took it. But it was, so I had to announce it because they wanted me to do TV. So I had to, went on Wish TV, and you know, when you do TV or radio, they send you a list of questions or like, hey, tell us what you want to talk about. So I had to like go back and forth with the Kurt Vonnegut Museum and say, hey, what do you want me to plug? And they sent me stuff. I forwarded it to the producer. I was like, hey, you can ask about this. Get there. They don't ask a single damn question that
of course not.
This shit took time. I had to correspond with emails. And also, I don't know if you like going into a TV studio is the most depressing thing I've ever seen because they're so bubbly on air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm just like sitting in the studio and get greeted by no one. Like the on-air people come sit down, act like I don't exist, and then the cameras turned on and like, hey, we're here with comedian Dwight Simmons. Like, who the fuck is this person?
Yeah.
And one of the anchors, she's like, where are you from? I was like, Carmel. She's like, I just saw a comedian joking about Carmel. I don't know who it was. I know she's talking about my bit because it's
the numbers. That's the viral one. Yeah.
And I was like, well, sounds like it was funny. That was off air. And then they opened the segment playing that clip. She had done no research.
And then also, you know, like this is what the Kurt Vonnegut people want.
Yeah.
It's like some real hard racial commentary.
Yeah. I was surprised they picked that clip to play, to be honest.
Yeah.
But to see her make the connection.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, it's you're the guy that I'm interviewing that I did zero research to. And then they just I hate these questions when you're doing comedy interviews. Well, tell us about your journey or your writing process. Mm-hmm. I was like, you should listen to the Matt and Dwight my podcast. If you want those answers, that's not what I'm here to talk about. I was very annoyed and the segment was 5 minutes and it was stupid.
Yeah.
It was stupid.
But least you didn't have to like go over and then cook something with them. That's always when you're on the show. I'm just trying to plug some shows or something. Like, why do I have to stand here and cook with you now? Like, this is weird.
I flipped a pancake. See what I did?
Yeah.
See what I did?
Well, so that was, so you had to prepare for that. And then, of course, they didn't do anything with the preparation. Did you have any shows last week, or was it all basically this? Okay.
No, I did. So I got a last minute corporate thing in Elkhart that I needed a last minute opener. And I found one in South Bend. And I just needed someone to do 10 to 15 minutes. And I was like, it doesn't have to be corporate clean, but just sensible. And she was like, sure. Yeah, cool. I was like, just be like, you know, common sense. And you're opening the show. She must have said cum dumpster 14 times.
I think I know who this is.
I was like the crowd was like all over the place. It's a corporate. So there's older people, there's younger people, they're like middle aged people. It's just a company party. And the older people are just like horrified.
Yes.
And I don't think like the younger people are laughing their asses off.
Yeah.
What
kind of company? This is a corporate. First of all, did I guess correctly? Did I guess correctly? I put it in the chat.
You did not.
Oh.
But close.
Oh.
Close.
Keep guessing. Now people are listening to me type. Is it? Yes.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Correct.
So I took two guesses, but I got there. So first of all, what kind of company is this for? Because what kind of, it's a corporate, but for what type of company?
It's like a restoration company, like a town. It's called Town Restoration is the, and they do, it's, they describe it as they do everything, anything you need done to your house. They'll do it.
So as you know, contractors, as a restoration time, they use dumpsters. Maybe this comedian was just trying to like connect,
Well, it's like obviously inexperienced, and this is my fault. Like I asked them to come.
I was gonna say this is 100% your fault.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I had asked two people, and then you know, the opener wasn't going to get paid that much, so I was trying to find people local, and there's just not that many people up there that can do this. And as soon as they said, you know, it doesn't have to be super clean, I was like, okay, all right, 10 minutes, we can survive on that. And I was wrong, but the show was fine. They were really appreciative.
Yeah,
it was just a thing that I'm in the back of the room, like, oh no, what have I done? So I did that, and then I had a great show at Alto Vineyards, the Tuttles in Champaign. It was awesome. They sold it out. A lot of people watched the special that came out to the show, which I thought was That's really cool.
Yeah.
Because when I say a lot, I mean like eight. That's a lot for me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like the whole crowd, but they're like, oh, yeah. They're like, we love the bit. I don't know if they watched the special or just clips, but either way, that felt good. And yeah, man, it was it's been a good couple of weeks of
that's good.
Stand up, feel strong, happy the new bits are starting to materialize in a fun way. So productive, good, fun shows.
That's good. And one thing about that corporate gig though, I think, and we've talked about this before on the podcast, but it like obviously not a great start, but it proves what we've said over and over again, which is like, as long as the headliner does well and makes everybody happy, then everybody's happy.
Right.
You know, now I'm sure there might still have been like the HR person or whoever hired you might've been gotten a talking to. You might be this might be the last time they ever do comedy.
They're never doing comedy again.
But I mean, but generally speaking, like even the old people who were like horrified at the many references to cum dumpster.
I thought it was funny. The jokes was, it was just that I was like, these jokes.
The setting. Exactly. So, but you saved the day, and I'm sure that they'll, you know, in like 10 years or so from now, they'll try it again. They'll try comedy again. So.
Like I said, my fault. But you know, you're scrambling. I got heckled.
So you got the day of. Did you get this gig like the day of?
Like 2 days before.
Okay. And yeah. So still.
So I got heckled. I was like, this is a last minute gig for me. And a guy was like, the other guy died. I was like, that doesn't even make sense, dude. That's not even a good funny heckle. And I was like, I envy that guy right now. Just as a joke. And then after the show, I went upstairs and talked to Jason, the booker, and he was like, oh, yeah, Troy Davis was supposed to do this.
As soon as you said the other guy died, that's like, was it Troy Davis?
Oh, my God, dude. I was horrified. I was like, no, he was being serious. He was being serious.
Here's the thing is like, your opener is on their podcast right now talking about, like, I can't believe that the headliner, who I'm not going to name, was making fun of dead fellow dead comedian.
Oh man, rest in peace, Troy. I talked to the guy after. I was like, I didn't know you were being serious. I thought you were just being an asshole.
Yeah.
But yeah, Troy passed away recently, and mm-hmm. I didn't even connect it at all.
Yeah.
This is why it was so last minute. And
yeah.
But yeah, yeah, what was I supposed to do with that information? Like, yeah. Even if I did know, and he yelled the other guy.
Well, I think you should have just had a moment of silence. Just like bring the show to a complete stop. Everybody bow your heads. We're going to have a moment of silence.
Yeah, it was.
And I'm going to break out this Ouija board. We're going to have Troy do 5 minutes. all right.
So, yeah, let's that was
where the planchette is going. See you. All right. We've already heard enough of this material.
Oh man.
Well, that's great. It sounds like it's been a good couple of weeks. I did have some shows 2 weeks ago. Last week, obviously, I was on vacation and didn't do anything remotely comedy related. It was great.
Happy for you.
Thank you very much. I did see if Lace was performing in Vegas at America's Got Talent Superstars.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was like, I'd be kind of like, I mean, it might be kind of interesting if she got us into that, got us comps or whatever, you know. And then I was like, no, I don't want to fucking watch some like juggling and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, the minute I actually said it out loud, I was like, I don't, you know, she wasn't there, you know, it would have been nice to like grab coffee or something, but
right.
But yeah, so did nothing comedy whatsoever. But the week before was a really good one. I did 2 shows in Chicago on that Thursday. The first one was very interesting. They do a weekly show at the House of Blues, mm-hmm. which is right in downtown Chicago, right on the river. You know, so that in and of itself, it's an effort to get to, right? Mm-hmm. You got traffic and everything's crazy. I got to say, Chris Tranny, who runs that show, does everything he can to make that show a positive experience. He books good lineups. He treats the comics really well. He's gotten House of Blues to not only it's spot pay, but it's decent spot pay. And then also they comp your parking.
Oh, and that's so great.
You just pull up valet park.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, they validate your parking and everything. So, you know, so that takes a big hassle out of it, out of the entire thing. You know, it's sold out. It's in this cool little, the House of Blues is a massive venue with lots of rooms. It was in like this kind of small, cool little hip bar area. I don't know, like 50, 60 people packed in there. Mm-hmm. And I went up early because I had another show later that night, but I had like a very meh set, as did the 2 comics before me. Like, yeah. I didn't love it. But since talking to other comedians in Chicago, that's just the shows that you have there. Like everyone leaves just being like,
oh,
you know, and apparently a lot of times it was almost all tourists, which I figured that was going to be mm-hmm. the case. But it was also like, apparently a lot of times there's people in there that don't even speak English, which is like, it's not music. Like, why are you going to a comedy show?
Right.
And it's not like performing in Times Square in New York, where sometimes you get that, mm-hmm. which that makes sense because, you know, these people chose to go to House of Blues in Chicago. They're yep. not stuck in downtown Manhattan.
Right.
You know, and like, I want to sit down.
Yeah.
That place has air conditioning and mm-hmm. I can sit down. Yes. Yep. I'll come sit through your fucking comedy show.
Yeah.
Like, so that seems weird to me, but it was still cool. And I'm going to go back and headline it next year. Chris was very nice. He's going to bring me back to headline it, which I'll give it another try.
But I mean, if you know it kind of going in.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you can kind of prepare for it a little better.
Yeah. And I had some pops here and there, but it was one of those things where you would do a joke that just always works. I wasn't trying to, it was 10 minutes. I was like, I'm going to do the hits,
yeah,
you know, and just some things were just like, they're just staring at you and you're like,
okay. Yeah. Like, all right.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here.
That way you can blame the audience. Like if you do a joke that always works and it doesn't get anything, you're like, this is your guys' fault. I've put in the time to know that this is good.
Yeah.
And
it was definitely interesting. I will say that, but yeah. And a lot of Chicago comics still do it every week because Chris does such a good job on it, you know, and it's like the green room was nice. And there was like booze in the green room if you're a drinker and, you know, yeah. So like I said, he does everything he can to make it a good experience just I think knowing that like you're not gonna have fun on stage, but let's like make the rest of it pretty good for you.
Yeah.
So shout out to Chris for that. And then I did High Dive as the late show, which is nice. Always a hot show, but that one was particularly hot, and it was a stacked lineup. Got to see some old friends like Chelsea Hood was on it.
Yeah.
Adam Burke. I mean, it was just like top to bottom. It was great. Like everyone killed.
Yeah.
Like I had a pretty hot one in there. I tried a joke idea that I've been thinking of that in the it just made me realize immediately, like this is not ready yet. Like the structure setup is not there, but they were so good that I could recover and get back into it. So that was a good one. And then I did a couple of shows in Wisconsin for Don't Tell, and they were both fantastic. The first one was in Appleton, Wisconsin on Friday, and beauty salon / clothing store. Actually, I'm sorry, it wasn't in Appleton, it was in Kakana.
Megan has family in both of those places, so
okay,
I've
all
been
right
to both of them.
Yeah, it was in Kakana and downtown to Kakana, and good crowd, good solid show. Saturday night we were in De Pere, Wisconsin, and doing Don't Tell, and it was maybe the hottest crowd I've had in a very long time.
Nice.
For everyone. And the show was also stacked and great. Like Dana Ehrman from Milwaukee was on it and just murdered. And, you know, Kristen Leidy, of course, is always great. She was on it. And it was in like a cool sneaker shop. And so luckily they didn't have any of my size, because it was like, oh, I'm here to make some money. But yeah, it was, and it was run by these really cool guys. But yeah, it was so hot. And Kristen even talked about it when we were hanging out after the show. She's like, yeah, I thought that's what you're doing. I had my camera and they were so hot. I was like, I'm going to get some clips.
Nice. So
I did some crowd work. I did more crowd work than I normally would.
There he is.
Just because I was like, they're in it. And I'm just like, all right, let's get some.
I love it. I
hate to be like that and to just make that decision. But I was like, all right. But I was also ready. Like if it wasn't going to work, I could pivot back out to material.
Yeah.
But it's like, I had a couple different pockets I could talk to, and like they're right in the front row. So I was like, they should also be on camera. I mean, really was kind of thinking about it sort of analytically.
Right.
As like, and so like, I have yet to start chopping all that up because I was on vacation stuff, but I'm looking forward to the camera.
That's why I bought the camera. So,
yeah.
You made it work. Like you work for the algorithm now, as we all do. We are employees.
That's so depressing. Jesus. That's so depressing.
To the algorithm. That's who we work
for. Yeah.
Did you notice the Kakana mascot on their water tower? Apparently it's just been painted, but the first time I was in Kakana, so their mascot is called the Galloping Ghost.
Oh, let me guess what he looks like.
it's pretty self-explanatory, Matt. The whole thing, it's a white ghost riding a horse. And it's just on the water tower, and I was like, did we think this one through?
Yeah. Now is the horse also in a similar ghost like seat? Yeah. And of course it's a good Christian nation, so of course they have a cross on there, you know. And
yes,
so
it is on fire.
Oh man. No, I mostly made fun of like how it's Electric City, you know. Like there's like, you just like, these are not bits that anyone's proud of, but they're the kind of stuff that you do to endear yourself up top. And so I was like, I think my bit I did for that was like Kakana. I was like, first of all, I joked around about how I couldn't pronounce the name. I pronounced the name wrong a couple times.
Yeah.
And I was like, Electric City, which is like their slogan for the city, because they have all this hydroelectric dams there and everything. And so then, but I did like basically almost like a Terhune type of joke where I was like, Electric City. I was like, first I was like Electric City, but then I went to your Dollar General. I was like, yeah, it's pretty vibing in here. This is pretty good. You know, so I'm like kind of making fun of them for being a small town, but also like not shitting on them at the same time. You know, it was like one of those sort of like kids gloves funny, like, and it worked. I opened both shows riffing a bunch.
Nice.
And both shows like the riffing hit, and I was riffing on the town and like the location and stuff like that. And it was a good reminder to me, because a lot of times I just come out like, I want to hit you with this first joke, particularly since I've moved a new joke into the rotation about turning 50. It's like, I've got a new opener. So I kind of want to just come out with it. But I was like, no, I should get loose a little bit. And, you know, like really kind of. So that was a good reminder to me. Now we'll see when I watch back at these clips as I cut them up, if it's actually really bad. And I was just high on Benadryl. thinking that I was murdering. So
Matt watches himself in a fever dream. Like, yeah, what did I think was happening?
I had an out of body experience and it was incorrect. unreliable narrator. So I'm gonna clip those up. That's like my thing that I'm doing this week. We've got some other family stuff going on this week that you and I've already talked about off air, but I am gonna try and clip a bunch of stuff up and just get ready for posting. I know I've been reporting on how my social media purchasing has been going, like boosting clips. I didn't do any of that last week because I was on vacation. I was really trying to like not be on my phone and all that kind of stuff. So nothing new to report, except for the fact that I did notice that the amount of organic interaction I was getting on TikTok has trickled back down, because every time I would do a boosted clip for like 3-4 days after that had expired, I was seeing a lot more like other clips getting viewed, you know, people starting to follow or checking out the profile. That has, with a week off of not paying for anything, that has definitely trickled back down to the almost nothingness that it was before. So it's definitely a thing where it wasn't my imagination. There are those residuals that you get from promoting and boosting a clip. So that's my my update for this week on that kind of stuff. So
it's smart. Yeah, treat it like a business expense and then don't overdo it. Like we said, like have a goal in mind. Even if it's just, I want to test some stuff out, just, you know, throw $5 just to test some stuff out, but promote your shows. Like, you know, I don't know, but
just speaking of promote shows, what do you got coming up? Let's promote some shows.
Let's see. December 21st. That is a Thursday. I will be at Hotel Tango in Indianapolis. That's a free show. Come hang out, get away from your family or, have some great cocktails. I love Hotel Tango. And then the 22nd and the 23rd, Friday and Saturday, I will be in Dayton at the Funny Bone headlining one show each night. So come through. Would love to pack those out. If you know somebody in Dayton, send them my way. What about you, Matt?
Nice. I don't have anything next week, but the week after that, I've got some stuff after the holidays. On December 28th, I'll be at Memento Zero Proof Bar in Fishers, Indiana. This is a sober bar. The whole thing is a zero proof. There's no alcohol there. So it's basically a place designed to be a social gathering place for people that are in recovery, as best I can tell, or at least the way it's been pitched to me. And as a person who's in recovery, it was very nice for them to ask me to headline that show. So I'll be there on the 28th. And then on the 30th and 31st, I'll be at the Comedy Attic in Bloomington, Indiana, headlining the New Year's Eve shows with our friends Shanda Sung and Mr. Joey Cerrone coming back to town to be on those shows as well. And then I'll have ticket links for those live on my website by the time this episode posts, so you can check that out at madelonamartincomedy.com. Every one of those words has a hyphen in between it, except for comedy and com, in which there is a dot. You can just Google my name. That's the easiest way.
Always got to wait for the Google plug.
Yeah, you got to wait for Google. You guys heard about this Google? You could probably Bing it. Bing will probably get you there too. So we did put forth a challenge to our listeners. We don't have a question this week, but we do have some people have answered with their challenge. Now, I want to give us another week. Next week will be our 50th episode, right, that we record, right? This is our 49th episode. So for the 50th episode, that's when I would like us to talk about our three things that we're proud of and three things that we want to do in the new year. I feel like it'll be a good way to wrap it up. It probably will also probably be our last episode that we tape for the year, I'm assuming, because of the holiday stuff. So I wanted us to sit on ours, and it's not because I haven't come up with mine yet. I do have mine. I did spend most yesterday trying to think of what mine were going to be, and I've got mine, but I do want to just hold off. These are two of the regular listeners who have written in many times, and we appreciate them very much for doing so. Thanks for being active members of the Matt and Dwight Army. Matt and Dwight Army? Is that what we're going to call
it?
Matt and Dwight Militia?
Nope. Like that one. I don't like that one.
Matt and Dwight's Galloping Ghosts. Matt and Dwight's Galloping Ghosts. Guys. For those of you that don't know what the fuck we're talking about, we put forth the challenge to all the listeners out there 2 weeks ago on the last episode, where we wanted them to list three things that they accomplished in comedy in 2023 and three comedy goals that they have for 2024. I think it's good to take stock, look back, appreciate the things that you've done and that you've accomplished this year, because as comedians, we're so quick to forget that shit. It's always like, what you don't have, not what you've actually done. Yep. So this is a little bit of self-love and then also a little bit of, you know, planning and goal setting as well. The first one is from Alex Schubert, Big Shubes, over there in Cincinnati, Ohio. Alex, thanks so much for listening to the podcast and writing in and taking part in the challenge. Here's his letter in its entirety. Thank you for all the consistent pod advice. It's been extremely helpful, and I feel better about comedy at the end of this year than I did at the beginning. Thank you. I don't know how much we can take credit for that, but if we're part of that feeling, appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Alex.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you can send us money at... So here's the things I accomplished in comedy in 2023. This is Alex's list. Number one, I got more road work this year. I got feature work at a couple of clubs by simply emailing and sending avails, which was a first for me. That's fantastic.
Love to hear that.
We talk about it all the time. There's two hard leaps to make, and one of them is going up to feature. Mm-hmm. Going from guest spot, particularly out-of-town comic, you know, or even in-town comic, like jumping up to that feature spot is hard. It's a big leap. So congratulations on that. That's amazing. And you did it just by emailing and sending the avails, sending links, I'm sure, to Eclipse as well, which we've advised, and it got you the work. So congratulations on that, Alex. Number two, I comfortably did longer sets. I started accumulating material and getting a general idea of what I want my future first special to look like. Mm-hmm. Love it. I love that you are thinking long range, right? Down the pike, like what, because we always talk about it, you know, comics should always be working on their next hour. This is a perfect example of that. So love that. Number three, I started getting an idea of how to post better looking clips and even had a couple break 10,000 likes. Algorithm broken.
You.
Dude. Yeah, dude, man. Like I have very few. First of all, 10,000 likes, I think, is better than anything I've ever gotten. I've got a few that have gotten 10,000 views or 20,000 views, 30,000 views, but I don't think I've ever gotten 10,000 likes on anything. So fuck you, Alex. That's what I got to say to that one. Huh? You think you're better than me?
Wait until Matt clips up this crowd work.
Well, you don't even know when I'm riffing on Kakana. Oh,
Kakana, yeah, Kakana crowd work.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. This is very rewarding, and it's important not to get lost in that sauce. But I love to just give props for having like this multifaceted approach to comedy and viewing it as, all right, the special and then the clips are secondary, mm-hmm, out of, mm-hmm, being more comfortable on stage, which comes first.
Yes.
So yes. I love that all these things are like coalescing together.
Yes, exactly. I think that all three of those are great. And I think it's one kind of unified vision. And I think that's, it's a good thing to look back and see that. And then to use that to put the first foot forward for next year and your comedy goals are for 2024. This is Alex's list for that. Number one, become a more consistent writer and accumulate a 45-minute set that I feel really good about. Perfect, right? You're already on your way. You're already talking about you're doing longer sets. You started featuring more, which is, that's a big thing of it too. When you're getting longer sets to perform,
right,
it makes it easier to write and to build that out. So absolutely. Number two, continue getting road weekends and gigs. Super practical. I love it. Right. Yep. And number three, get into more festivals. And then this is where, Alex, I got to say, you really blow it. Limestone, for example, has been a longtime goal of mine.
Oh, God, no.
Alex, this was the perfect email right up until that sentence.
No. Nothing pisses Matt off more than
my God.
Limestone before January 1st. It's a trigger. I'm
trying not to think about it. And here you... 3 weeks early. Now you put it in like, oh my God. Well, good luck, I guess, Alex.
There's always next year.
I'm just going to cancel Limestone now. No.
So
getting into festivals, as we've talked about on this podcast, is important, right? It's a networking opportunity. It's another like little notch in the belt. It's another little credit that you can add to your bio. In reality, thank you. It's very flattering that Limestone is on your list. I appreciate that. I know that Dwight appreciates that. And I was just joking around. And I would like to, as always, remind you, our friend who is going to be applying to our festival, we ain't got shit to do with it. It's a review panel. It's a review panel, picks the people. We don't have much to do with it. So
don't drop
good luck.
It in conversation. Don't be like hanging out and be like, man, I'm thinking about applying this year. I'm just going to be like, cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
I dig these goals. One note is when we talk about writing specifically, I think it's very important to set micro goals for yourself instead of saying, I want to be a more consistent writer. What does that mean? Like, break it down, because that's something that's always going to be there for your career. No matter how much you write, you're always going to feel like, I need to write more. So finding out, how do I actually sit down and do this very difficult thing? Is it, okay, I want to write in the morning before I check my phone. I want to write 10 minutes before I go to bed. I want to write a new 2 minutes every week. Like, just be more specific in that sense. And I think that's more valuable than the, I just want to write more. What do you want to write?
Definitely be specific about it. And I think that everything that you just said is good and very practical advice. You know, there's also people do the artist way, where they write pages every day and they're very dedicated. I think it's like 3 pages a day that you write freehand, just kind of like stream of consciousness. A thing that I haven't thought about in a long time, but it was a very solid piece of advice. I cannot remember who first told me this, so I apologize that I'm not giving credit, but I remember hearing that the idea that you should try to write 5 minutes a week and go out and open mic it and everything like that and try it. Because if you keep a minute of it, then at the end of the year, you've written 52 minutes. You've got 52 minutes of material.
Right.
That, and so, like, as a way to build hours, and it's just like a very concrete, like, okay, I'm going to try and have a fresh five every week that I go out and hit the mics, where I drop into my feature sets or things like that, knowing that most of it's going to get thrown away. And being okay with that, being okay with it, the fact that, like, that whole thing was just for this one joke, was for this 1 35-45 second long joke. Sometimes they're like, oh no, this 2.5-3 minute bit came out of it, it's great. But the idea is that you're going to average a minute out of every five that you write that you're going to keep. I think that's a good philosophy. I don't think you necessarily have to abide by that. You know, all of these sort of comedy writing rules are just things that you can kind of think about and try to apply that makes the most sense to you. But that's another way you can structure it. If Alex or anyone else out there wants to write more as their sort of New Year's comedy resolution, that's a tactic you can take, you know, and you can have an accountability buddy, somebody in your scene that you open mic with a lot. You can kind of hold each other to, like, hey, like, you got your fresh five, you know, and then, like, see what happens. You know?
Yeah. Don't let your goals contradict themselves either. Like, if your goal is to start hosting or move up to feature, don't let the, I got to try new stuff out on, like, the club night, like, find places where you can try the new material. But if your goal is to get into more festivals, that means you need to consistently be recording good tapes. And that means tried and true material. So, like, I like to set my goals, like, a quarter at a time instead of for a year. Because you can find, like, you know, when I'm trying to work on new material, that's different than when I'm trying to send a tape into a booker or get a new tape to send into a booker. So it just depends on where you are and what you have the energy to hold yourself accountable to.
Yeah, definitely. And I think, you know, we did ask for their year-long goals, and I think it's
for sure
you can do both. You can kind of have a long range year-long, but I think your idea of shrinking it down a little bit, like, these 3 months I'm focusing on this one and this and this and this, I think is very helpful for sure. The other one that we got in, the other email answering the challenge, comes from frequent emailer and listener to the podcast, Trent Babb. Trent, thank you for participating on the challenge and always listening to the podcast. Do appreciate that. Trent's email says, hey guys, I like the new segment on social media advertising. This is something comics need to learn, so thanks for sharing your process. Thank you. And again, I may not be doing it the best way. I'm just sharing my results and people can kind of adjust from there. But I'm glad that people are getting something from it, including Trent. In your last episode, you asked for 3 2023 achievements and 3 goals for 2024. Here are mine. 2023 achievements. First, performed for my largest crowd, 700 people at a Fox Theater hosting for Josh Blue. Amazing.
This motherfucker. Awesome. 700 people.
Are we going to make Trent the this motherfucker?
Hell yeah, we're going to make Trent this motherfucker. This 700 motherfucker. People? That's all right, dope. That's awesome. Yeah.
That is dope. And it's such a big thing, and like it's exciting whenever you get to do those really massive shows for the first time and realize that how much you have to adjust. You have to slow down because it takes a lot longer for that many people to laugh than 100 people in a comedy club. So that's awesome, man. Congratulations on that. Number two, tripled my last year's headlining gigs to 15. So, dude, that's awesome. Like, that's huge growth. If you went from 5 headlining shows to 15, that is definitely trending in the right direction.
Yes, sir.
And then third, I like this. This is an answer we're probably not going to get from other people who write in, but his achievement was he co-produced and co-directed a Friends comedy special.
Oh, dope, dude.
I think that's awesome. Yeah, like giving it back. It's not just about your own stage time, but also helping out a friend. Sent a link, which I will also send to you, Dwight, as well. So you can check it out. 2024 goals. One, 40 minutes of solid, clean jokes for more opportunities. Only got 20 so far. Perfect.
Love it.
Dwight can use you next time that he's in a pinch corporate gig. And we do talk about this, like if you have the drive and the muscle to do that, it does open up other opportunities. But if you just are not that comic, do not feel bad about not, but also don't take gigs
that
say, like, you know, like I've definitely been asked to do stuff sometimes before I'm like, that's not really my thing, you should get somebody else. So, you know, make sure you're doing that. But that's definitely a good goal, to write another 20 minutes of clean jokes for more opportunities. Number two, film a couple of big shows in 4K with multiple cameras, chop them up, share online, pay TikTok to boost, as you suggest.
Yes,
as
sir.
We said, you know, investing in that algorithmic master is not a bad idea. And then number three, get on a comedy festival in California. People who have listened to Trent writing before, we have determined that he is based in California. So that's not a weird specific thing of like,
yeah,
get on a comedy festival in California and track down my ex. You
know, like, I really want to flex.
Yeah. I'm just a big Red Hot Chili Peppers fan and they keep talking about it. So I got to go.
I got to check it out.
Once again, on a comedy festival in his home state, that's a great goal and a great idea of where to start. You know, comedy festivals can be expensive, you know, and so doing one that's in your own home state, you're going to greatly cut down on the cost of going to do it for the first time. So yeah, focusing on one in your home state is a great idea, and these are great goals. We wish you luck, and Alex, we wish you luck as well on your 2024 goals. Trent signs off by saying thanks guys for keeping the life and art of comedy real, man.
Yeah, dog. Yeah, that's what we do, keep it real over here.
We're gonna get some t-shirts made now that say that.
Matt and Dwight just might keep it real on your ass.
Life and art, baby. All right.
See, Trent's hooking us up with bylines, taglines.
That's good, man.
It work.
If anyone out there wants to participate, this challenge is running. Like, again, you can still please send it in. Even if you don't get it in until the very end of this month, we'll read your achievements and your goals on the podcast in the first couple of episodes of next year. We do have one more episode. Episode 50 will come out this year, which we'll be recording next week and putting out, where we reveal our achievements and goals. But if you want to participate, you can email us at the email account, which is mattanddwight@gmail.com. That is mattanddwight@gmail.com. If you don't want to be part of this and you just have a question about comedy or anything else, you can also send a question there and we'll read your question on the air as well. So I think that's just about it. Pretty good episode, huh?
That's solid, man. That's not
covered
bad.
A lot.
No rust after a week off.
Oh,
I don't care what
smooth,
anybody
baby.
Says. That was nice. That was good.
Rested, tan, you know, like it's feeling good. Dwight, if you think there's one thing that we've learned from this episode, what do you think it is?
Take the time to book and watch someone's clip correctly.
Yeah.
And, you know, to town restoration, that's on me, big dog. That's on me.
Yeah.
That's on me. The other guy died. What did you want me to do?
Was that your, like, in case anybody said anything about the opener, you were like, well, my opener died also. It's a tragedy going on.
No, it's all my fault.
Yeah.
I'm taking the L on that one.
Yeah. You know, don't be a dumb cumster and don't be saying the word cum dumpster in your clean corporate set.
See you next week for episode 50. Whoop, whoop.